The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 44. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up and at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. And now can I invite Caroline up to talk to us about that? And can we just pray for her before she does that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Caroline's heart to serve you. And we ask that you be with her this morning and give her guidance and wisdom. We ask that you open our ears to hear your word and open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lizette. Good morning. It's lovely to be here with the sun shining after yesterday. It was a bit damp, wasn't it? I just want to pray again before we start. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that some of the subjects of healing may be challenging. I pray today that my words will be your words and that they will tread lightly and be an encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a very familiar passage this morning, and it's easy to recall many passages that talk of Jesus healing. And this morning I plan to look at why Jesus heals, how we can pray for others, and what happens when Jesus does not appear to heal. I think it's important to remember that first century Galilee looked and possibly smelt slightly different than the 21st century Britain. And just for a minute, I'd like you to close your eyes and listen to this retelling of the second part of our reading. And imagine what it would have felt like to have had a simple temperature or a fever. And then I'll leave just a moment's silence at the end to reflect. "Oh, hello. How lovely to see you. Can you just wait a minute while I put the bread in the oven? Yes, there we go. It's a bit busy in here tonight. It's like the whole of Capernaum are in the house. Was it much struggle to get through? It's been quite a busy day, to be honest. Please, take a seat. No, wait. Just give me a hug. There was a point today I didn't think I'd be able to do that again. Yes, I woke up and was feeling awful. I've been off colour for a few days now, and I'd spike a temperature, and one minute I'd be hot, and the next cold, and then I just got hotter and hotter, and I ended up in bed. Quite unusual for me, to be honest. You know how busy I am. But this was not going away, and Simon tells me I ended up being in the grip of what he called a major fever. I thought I'd be laid up for days. And it's always worrying. So many people die from fever. You just never know, do you? I mean, it's not long, is it, since Sarah passed away? Anyway, Simon came into the house with Jesus, and I was so unwell I didn't really notice them. But Simon is such a good son-in-law. He always checks where I am and when he comes in from the synagogue. And he told me that as soon as he saw me, he went to get Jesus. You know, there's something different about Jesus. There is something like he can see right into you. He knows stuff that you've never told anyone. He came without hesitation, quietly. He didn't bring an audience, no crowds to impress. Without a show. He wasn't performing. And ever so gently, he reached out a hand and he rebuked the fever. He just touched me. I'm not sure I can remember what he said, but he said it with conviction and authority. It was like a power going through me, and I sat up and immediately felt better. Actually, I felt better than I'd felt better for years. Had a real sense of energy about me. I felt like a teenager again. I'd been given back my health. It was amazing, and words just were not enough. Thank you seemed so hollow. I thought, what do I do now? The house was filling up, and it was so noisy, and people were debating and asking me questions. It was mayhem. So I quietly walked to the kitchen, and as you can see, I'm still here. And I started to feed them. To serve them. Jesus has given me back my health and my strength, and the very least I could do is to use this gift of life and serve him and others. Oh, smells like the bread's ready. Although looking out the window, we may need more. Everyone in the village is coming with the sick for Jesus to lay his hands on them. A mother's work is never done. Make yourself useful and give us a hand. Take this lot out while I start another batch. Now that may seem like a light-hearted retelling, but I hope it helped you gather a sense of what life might have been like in the first century. If you were ill, you were invariably marginalized. You had no way of making money, and there was no universal credit or state pension. If you had leprosy, you were banished from the city. You were unclean. For the devout Jew, that meant you couldn't be touched, and no one would come close. Just being a woman meant you were unclean 1 week in four, sent away till it was over. For many of you, paracetamol is a new invention. It's only been available since 1950. That's less time than penicillin. 6,300 tons of paracetamol are sold every year. It's the most widely used and prescribed drug in the United Kingdom. If you have a temperature or a headache when you leave here today, you are 3 minutes walk away from a shop that will sell you 16 paracetamol for the princely sum of 32p. That's 42 hours of pain relief for just 32 pence. half a loaf of bread. And yes, the dose, with my district nurse hat on, the dose is 2 tablets 4 times a day, not 1 tablet when you think about it. That way it works properly. Your temperature should come down and you will probably feel significantly better very quickly. We are often quick to undermine the NHS, but I believe the gift of healing has been given to us through doctors and nurses, through physiotherapists, occupational therapists. The advice that they give comes from years of study and experience, and we should at all times be mindful to take heed of it. That does not negate the need for prayer or for Christian healing, but God has given the gift of science and medicine to us, just as he has given the gift of healing and laying on of hands. However, God still heals miraculously today, and we should expect God to continue healing today. Exodus 15:26 tells us, "I am the Lord who heals you." Jesus healed supernaturally, and he continues to heal supernaturally. Jesus is not the only one who healed. He gave the gift of healing to the 12 disciples and then the 72 that he sent out during his ministry. He had compassion for people. That is what motivated him. When they wept, he wept. When we weep, he weeps. And in our reading this morning, verse 39 tells us, he saw Simon's mother in bed and he bent over and rebuked her fever. And it left her. We all have the ability to pray for those God places in our path. Healing does not need to be big, elaborate prayers or theatre. We just need to pray like Jesus did, with love, respect, compassion, and always remembering that it is God who heals, not us. It is God's power that brings healing. We just need to pray with simplicity and love. He will hear us. And most of all, be reassuring to those that we pray to that God loves them. But what happens when God doesn't heal? Here at Christ Church, that has been a reality for us over the last few years. Jill Garfitt was a member here for many years. She was influential within the Organisation for Persecuted Christians Open Doors and was an amazing church warden here before she heard the call to ordination. She was a mentor and a friend to many of us here. She had real joy in her soul and her smile lit up the room. I felt so privileged to know her. But then within 4 months of being ordained a priest, she became unwell and was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. It was devastating news for her, her family, and all of us. And it led to the inevitable question of why? Why Jill? Why my friend? Why us? What are we going to do without her? What do we do when God is silent, when we are angry, and when we are grieving? Along with Catherine Simmons and Nicola Healy and many in the congregation, I had the immense privilege of sitting with Jill in her last weeks and days, where we laughed and we cried. It was a true blessing. She had many questions, but her faith did not waver. Nicola and I spent a surreal afternoon cooking pancakes on her arga for Jill and Barry to enjoy later on. Cooking in somebody else's kitchen is always a challenge. But it brought her joy. The day Jill died, the reading was John 14:2. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I not have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" This verse was read to her in those last hours, and she appeared to acknowledge it. Jill knew where she was headed. She was going home. In our eyes, Jill was not healed. And so I wish I had an answer of why she was not healed. It was not from lack of prayer from us or her. It was not that she was not loved by God. But Jill knew where ultimately she was headed. She was being called home. But even in those dark days, she managed to use her dying for the glory of God. The carers who visited learnt of her faith, of the faith of those who were visiting so Barry could have some downtime. And one carer had started reading her Bible and asking questions. In Pete Grieg's book, God on Mute, which I would recommend for you to read, he talks quite candidly about how it feels to wrestle with God when healing doesn't happen. He sums it up like this. There is faith for life, and then there is darker faith for death. There is faith for miracles, but also for pain. There is faith for God's will when it's our will too, but there is also grace to trust God when his will is not what we would choose. He goes on to say, it may be one of the most painful prayers of our life, but it may also be one of the most powerful. Jesus never left Jill, and he will never leave us. He will never stop loving us. Whoever encountered Jill encountered Jesus, asking God for grace to trust him when he doesn't answer our prayers as we would choose can take a Herculean effort. But knowing God is close by, even in our darkness, will bring peace. The importance of looking up at Jesus is what will keep us walking in that grace. We have the fortune of living in the 21st century with all the amazing medical advances that brings healthcare professionals the care to heal us. Yet God has given us simple ability to partner with him, to pray for healing for ourselves and for others. There's no formula. He knows our needs before we ask. We just need to ask. So this week, remember when Jesus meets us, just as he did with Mary, Simon's mother-in-law. He looks into our eyes and he holds out his hand. And whether that hand brings healing or not, he does not turn away. He walks with us. He loves us. And there is grace to trust him too. Jesus gives us the strength to keep moving forward, for us to show his love to others and to hold the knowledge that he has prepared a room for us. So in a moment of silence, let us just think of someone who is in need of healing and bring them before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we believe you hear all our prayers. Take these prayers of ours and hold them in your hands and use them for your glory. Amen.